chair. Cold steel. Surprisingly more versatile than just a seat. Put them all together, and you get one hard-hitting hell of a night.
Look at the size of that chair, Ben. That's like getting hit with a billboard.
Look at the chair. Look at the shape of the chair. John Cena's face just slapped that steel chair at the hands of Randy Orton.
There's a chair across two chairs, and he powerbombed him through the chair.
Curb stomp out of the chair.
Oh, look out here.
It's a concerto.
Oh, a double concerto.
A one-man concerto.
Who wants to walk with Chair Shot Radio?
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Welcome back to Chair Shot Radio. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner of the ChairShot.com. I am joined, as always, by my associates in alcohol. Let's start first with this week. The MVP of the ChairShot.com, the ChairShot, ChairShot Radio Network, Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, the real Christopher Platt.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Have no fear, for I am here. Your eyes may water, your teeth may grit, but don't you fear, because Christopher Platt, you shall get on Chair Shot Radio.
Thought he was going somewhere else with that one.
Yeah, I thought that one was trending in the drizzling you-know-what, but... nonetheless, let's slide on over across my Skype window to the architect of the chairshot.com. Always use your head. It's him. It is him. It does be DPP.
It's about time you saved the best for last. You always put Christopher Platt in at the end. But it's great to be here.
I'll do one better. You never get it.
Oh. Feels
That's what
good.
She said.
Feels good.
Well, you know, the sun shines on a dog's ass every now and again, DP, so live it up while you can, bro.
I am behind soaking it, soak it in, man. It always goes down
smooth. It's good to be back here on Chair Shot Radio, Chair Shot Radio Network, thechairshot.com. Mr. Platt.
Always use your head.
DP, what you drinking?
Drink it in, man.
Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I've got more in the trunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk.
All right, this week on What You Drinking, I got a Rebel IPA by Sam Adams. I know DP's off tomorrow. He's got to have something going on over there.
I'm going to disappoint you a little bit because I just got a lemonade right now.
All right, Mr. Platt, bring us home. Bring us home, MVP.
Well, you know, shout out to my lady, a.k.a. the valet. She's on a Strictly Fruits and Vegetables
wait,
diet.
Speaking of... didn't we fire you? Where is she? She's late.
Yeah.
She didn't get the memo.
Yeah. That's not really going to work in this particular scenario. So, yeah.
I kid.
Shout out to her, though, man. She made her debut on Chair Shot Radio a few weeks ago, and I thought she acquitted herself pretty well. She certainly is the better half of this tag team. I'm not even going to lie. But that being said, so she's on nobody asked you. So she's on this fruits and vegetables diet right now, man. She's trying to get back to her fighting weight for WrestleMania because in New Orleans, we're going to need a whole bunch of food. So she's trying to prepare for that. So that being said, no wine this week. She actually went out and got a bottle of Kettle One because vodka has no calories. So I'm sitting up here drinking Kettle One. So shout out to the good folks at Kettle One. This might make for interesting podcasting. I'm not going to lie.
What are you, Kettle One and what?
Kettle One and Kettle One.
On ice?
I mean, it's on ice, yes. It was in the refrigerator, so it's chilled. But yeah, man, we don't chase nothing around here, man. Nah, man. We don't do that,
so
man.
So the only thing in that cup is Kettle One.
Yes.
And backwash.
Good God. And I thought I was hardcore with my vodka waters.
Oh, you got vodka and water? Ooh.
Oh, no. I usually put a lemon in there too. Slice.
Hey, PC, man, before we get started recording, man, you might want to go change your tampon, bro.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So what happens?
Well, that concludes
what
you're drinking this week.
Jeez.
Let's take a quick transition and let everybody know what's going on in the show today.
Well, it's the big show.
Cheat. Good God. Man. Good God. Sit down for a while. That was a blast.
Yes. Sit down to go urinate, huh?
Oh, that's Ball's job. We talked about that already yesterday. And folks, I got to tell you what, if you're not listening to Pod is War, for goodness gracious sake, go to thechairshot.com and check it out. They have their Mania Madness event going on right now. You can go to @chairshotradio on the Twitter to vote. I believe that the four matchups you're voting for to move forward, the Mania moments, I should say, to move forward would be Undertaker retiring at WrestleMania 33, Seth Rollins cashing in Money in the Bank at WrestleMania 31, John Cena versus The Rock at WrestleMania 28, and the Macho Man. Ooh, yeah!
Ooh, yeah!
At WrestleMania 4. So the top two percentages in the vote will move on to the semifinals and face each other. We also have the quarterfinals finishing up next week on Pod is War. Today, Chair Shot Radio. Gentlemen, episode 10 of Chair Shot Radio.
I wish I had like a 10. Where's the 10?
The 10 bell salute.
10.
Oh.
10.
Oh.
And as a special, no, we don't have Ty Dillinger today. Anyway.
Well.
We're going to preview Fastlane. I got a couple things for you to watch on the WWE Network. And a last call about a personal experience? EBP, ring the bell. Just a couple things to watch on the WWE Network that I've noticed lately that I've been checking out when I've had some spare time. Mainly, I check out about a half hour or so before I go to bed. Helps me just kind of relax a little bit. WWE Photo Shoot is a really cool program that they're doing. They take a superstar and show them still shots while they show you, you know, kind of the highlight reel of what was going on. They give you their memories of what happened. It's 20 minutes long. It's excellent. They've had Cesaro. Who else? They have Charlotte, among others. The Miz. So that's something interesting to check out. And Mid-Atlantic Wrestling is on the WWE Network that I've noticed lately. A lot of great people went through Mid-Atlantic. The other day I was watching Roddy Piper take on Greg Valentine for the United States Championship. I got Ric Flair on there. I got Andre the Giant on there. So go check out yourself some early mid-80s Mid-Atlantic Wrestling along with WWE Photo Shoot on the WWE Network for
$9.99.
That's what shows up on my statement. All right, here we go, folks. Fastlane preview. Let's start off with Platt here because I know he's dying to talk about Becky and Naomi teaming up to take on Carmella and Natalya in a women's tag team match. Dynamite drop in there, Platt. I see that broadcasting school is really paying off.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Who cares, man? I'm not going to lie to you guys, man. I'm going to be pretty apathetic throughout this whole Fastlane preview because Fastlane is nothing but a speed bump on the road to WrestleMania, and we all hate speed bumps. You spill your weed with a speed bump. You mess up your shocks with a speed bump. Like, speed bumps are not good. A speed bump is like getting a pimple in the middle of your forehead, man. Nobody cares. And shout out to all these women. I love all these women. They're all very talented. but I don't care. I'm probably not even going to watch Fastlane, man. I'm probably going to be watching that O.J. Simpson special on Fox at this particular point in time. Not going to lie to you.
DP, will you be watching the O.J. Simpson special on Fox?
Maybe I'll DVR that one, but I'm going to be watching Fastlane because I'm just on the edge of my seat for this pre-show match. That is Becky Lynch and Naomi versus Natalya and Carmella. And I think it might steal the show, Platt. I mean, if you're not tuning into the pre-show, you guys are missing out.
Cool.
All right. Let's transition over because I hear voices in my head. They talk to me. They tell me Bobby Roode is U.S. champ. They talk to me. Randy Orton versus Bobby Roode for the United States title. Gentlemen, thoughts here on what could be a really good match here at Fastlane?
I'm really interested that they didn't.
I'm trying, damn it! I am trying!
Really?
This could be... I mean, this one is interesting because they could go either way with this. This is one that I've been on the fence about who's going to be taking this U.S. championship into WrestleMania. Are they going to keep it on Roode? Or are they going to give it to Orton, who's never had this? This is the one title he's never had. The fact that they didn't put Jinder Mahal in this match is interesting. Based on events on SmackDown there where he won against Randy Orton in a singles match. And
sorry, Greg.
Yeah. So, it seems the way they're building up WrestleMania, this could be our ladder match for the U.S. title like they did for the IC title. So we're going to see where this one ends up. And really, between these two, it could go either way at the end of this match.
Maybe that's where they go, man. But, I mean, Randy Orton, the only thing over about Randy Orton is the RKO. And the RKO is awesome, so nobody's refuting that. The only thing over about Bobby Roode is his entrance theme song. It's glorious. It really is. But this matchup altogether, man, it's the equivalent of a dead fish fighting an unplugged iron. That's what we have. Yeah, that's what we have going on here, man. I could see a world in which Randy Orton wins the U.S. title because, again, they've been hyping it up. It's the one title he's never held. Oh, yada, yada, yada. And yeah, maybe that's where they go. Either way, who cares?
I got a feeling if they do this and if they give Randy Orton the title, it's going to be a short-lived run, and they're just giving it to him for the sake of giving it to him, and then he'll drop it right back at WrestleMania to, whoever, Jinder Mahal or whoever may be in that match.
That's kind of how I feel, man. I feel like this Roode Orton thing, this probably isn't going to be the last time that we see them in some configuration, whether or not they swap the titles. I don't think if they really have high hopes for Roode, I don't think taking the title off him at this point is the best thing. But, I mean, it's Randy Orton. He's a made guy, so it's not going to hurt him that much, theoretically, in WWE logic. But either way it goes, man, again, it's a dead fish versus an unplugged iron. So enjoy yourselves, wrestling fans.
I think you two gentlemen will enjoy the next two matches we're about to talk about. Firstly, the New Day.
New Day!
Versus
Baby.
The Usos.
It's not paranoia. It's the
Usos defending here. Do either of you gentlemen see New Day winning and we get the rematch at WrestleMania and to finally end this? It's been a great year of them fighting back and forth. I just see that, finishing the storyline, and I'm perfectly fine with watching these guys wrestle each other every single week. MVP?
I could see a scenario in which the New Day win these titles, and I'm looking forward to this match because I don't think it's possible for these two teams to have a bad match versus each other. Like, this feud has been phenomenal. It really has, man. Every time they've gotten into the ring against each other, they have tremendous chemistry, and every match has been entertaining. So I could see a scenario where New Day wins, but either way, I kind of feel like we're setting up for the Bludgeon Brothers, whomever comes up this match victorious. I feel like we're setting it up for the Gallaghers. You remember Gallagher used to smash the watermelons with the mallets and whatnot. Yeah, I feel like we're setting up for the Gallaghers to beat whichever team comes out of this victorious.
I could easily see the New Day winning this match and taking the tag titles into WrestleMania for the final match between the New Day and the Usos. I'm surprised they didn't just hold this one off till WrestleMania, but if they want to have a rematch or whatever, fine. But I think a few of us here on Chair Shot Radio have talked about the Usos probably moving over to Raw after WrestleMania at some point here. So I could see this as the opportunity to you drop the titles, give them to the New Day, let the New Day hold on to them for a little bit as you transition over to some new tag teams on SmackDown and Raw, probably a few, I'm guessing maybe a few teams coming up or something like that. But these are the two teams that have held down the tag division for, like you said, PC, over a year, and have stole the show every time they've gone at it. And it's going to be an absolutely amazing match. And I have no doubt this one's going to steal the show for the night as well. And possibly WrestleMania, because you mentioned the Bludgeon Brothers, and I'm sure that's who's coming up next. But unless they do a tag team turmoil thing or something like we talked about, maybe them doing on Raw, I don't want to see the Usos versus the Bludgeon Brothers at WrestleMania. I want to see the Usos in the New Day. Save that shit for afterwards. I want these two to go at it. They deserve the main stage. They deserve a non-pre-show match. And they need to show off what they can do at WrestleMania, because it's going to be outstanding.
All right. Yesterday was Rusev Day. Today is Rusev Day. Tomorrow will be Rusev Day. The slogan for Rusev Day is the same as the slogan for the WWE. Then, now, and forever. Except DPP for this Sunday, because I believe there's a good chance that this Sunday could very well end up being
Nakamura Day.
You can't just make up your own holiday, bro.
Pop.
You damn skippy, Shinsuke. It very well could be Nakamura Day all the way through WrestleMania. Gentlemen, Rusev versus Shinsuke. I am most excited for this very matchup. Two guys that I really enjoy wrestling. I hope they release the leash on this match and let these two gentlemen go all out and just take care of business. These two guys could have the match of the year this Sunday.
They could. Yes, that's possible. That's all up to Shinsuke, though, man, because, I mean, Shinsuke is, let's be honest, man, and I love Knock, but he's been kind of phoning it in during his main roster run. Like, it is what it is, man. They could possibly steal the show and have a match of the year candidate. They certainly could. But at the end of the day, Sunday is not going to be Rusev Day. It is what it is. Shinsuke is not taking any L's going into WrestleMania. And quite frankly, and we'll get to the main event preview later, but I would appreciate it if they kept Shinsuke and AJ Styles off of TV from here on out, man. And just do some montages, because nobody does montages better than the WWE. And just do some training montages, or maybe you do like a one-on-one sit-down with Corey Graves and they kind of go back and forth. But let's keep both these guys off television until WrestleMania and really hype this up like it was a big fight.
How about having a backstage, backstage interview, have AJ Styles. I know Nakamura is not the best, English speaker, but Nakamura sitting down backstage and AJ Styles and have a back and forth, kind of like they did with Rock Cena or Rock Austin back at WrestleMania 17. That could be a lot of fun and build this up a little more.
And I mean, quite frankly, we don't need to see them on TV every week, man. You didn't see Floyd Mayweather fighting Mickey Ward before the McGregor fight. Like, you didn't see that. Like, just keep them off TV. But knowing WWE, they're probably going to be a tag team. They'll mess around and win the tag titles. And then, hijinks will ensue, and there'll be a misunderstanding, and then they'll lose them. And, y'all know how this goes.
Well, and you know how well these two guys can go in the ring. And I really think Nakamura is going to step up his game and really show off what he can do, especially when he gets in there with AJ Styles. And he has an opportunity here with Rusev, who's absolutely amazing in the ring, and he can start that right now. And like you said, PC, this one could... This one has a potential to be match of the night, match of the year candidate if they really wanted to, and if they gave him the opportunity to go just balls out and have an amazing match, because both of these guys can go in the ring and would be awesome to see that. for both of these guys.
Unfortunately, we're probably just going to get Rusev putting Shinsuke over and not much rub on the Rusev end. So let's transition over to the women's title match. We got Charlotte defending against Ruby Riott. I like the program that you have the Riott Squad dealing with the champion, give them credibility as they're breaking in, and a new faction, give them a little bit of a push. But there's no chance that Ruby wins the title here, is there, Platt?
Oh, you were serious. Oh, my bad. I thought you were telling jokes, PC. My bad, Commission. Yeah, you're serious. No. To quote the legendary Vincent Kennedy McMahon, there's no chance in hell.
Because there's no chance in hell.
You heard him, man. DP, what you think, bro?
There's absolutely no chance in hell that this is going to happen. I'm interested to see the match and to see how it goes. I really like the fact that they are trying to do something with this faction, because they really, on the other side with Absolution, they have not made them look strong at all, really. They started off very slow here as well with the Riott Squad, but they're trying to give them some credibility. I mean, you can't have them keep losing matches. That's the problem. If you want to build this faction as a big faction, then, you know, you got to have them win a match or two here and there, but this is obviously not going to be the spot where that happens.
Does anybody else think Ruby Riott looks like Marilyn Manson?
And finally, the main event of Fastlane, we have the WWE Championship defended by none other than the face that runs the place, AJ Styles, taking on five other competitors. You heard me. Because we had Elimination Chamber, apparently we need a multitude of people in this championship match. John Cena, Dolph Ziggler, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. Christopher Platt, do you at least see this being a good match, or is this just going to be one cluster fuck?
It's going to be a good match because of all the guys that you have involved in it. That being said, nothing of consequence is going to happen. AJ's clearly going to walk out of here as WWE champion, because you can't cock tease the audience if you're WWE. Everybody's excited and getting moist about the Shinsuke AJ Styles matchup at WrestleMania. You can't pull the rug out from under people at this particular point in time. You just can't do that. So AJ is still going to reign victorious here after the match, and I don't think either of you guys would disagree with that. Like, that's just what it is, and it should be a pretty good match. DP, what do you think, man?
I think it's another chance for AJ Styles to
beat up John Cena!
Woo! And I feel like I've already seen this match. If you watch SmackDown, you take John Cena out of the equation. We kind of already saw this match, and I don't know. I think it's disappointing that they would do something like that, just because it's exactly the same match you're going to get here at the pay-per-view, you know? So why give away your pay-per-view match? I know it doesn't have John Cena in it, and now it will, but you know, I think this match is more going to be a way to extend the story between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and maybe get something going with John Cena, because I think we all know AJ Styles is going to win this thing and go on to face Shinsuke Nakamura. We're kind of seeing the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, where Zayn's staying the heel. Maybe Kevin Owens going face here. And then what's next for John Cena is the question there. PC?
If AJ does not defend his title here, I don't want an explanation. I just want a name. DP, who's the one guy that could walk out as champion, new champion? Well,
it's John Cena.
Platt?
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun.
All right, folks, one topic left here on Chair Shot Radio. Follow us at Chair Shot Radio on the Twitter. You can email us
chairshotradio@thechairshot.com.
CP, I think it's time for last call.
A last call for alcohol.
What do you mean it's last?
Let's go. So I know, Mr. Tunney, that you actually attended Raw this past week in Milwaukee, if you will.
It's Algonquin for the good land.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cooper. So I want to get your thoughts about being at Raw, man, because I've been to I went to a few Raws, man, the ones after Mania, you know, the lit ones. And I personally just didn't find Raw to be an enjoyable experience, man. Like, it's not really a wrestling show. It's a television show. So you've got a lot of downtime, and that helps to kind of dissipate the energy. And by the time Raw is over, you're just waiting for it to be over. You're mentally drained. So I just wanted you to get your thoughts about the experience being there live at Raw.
Well, it had been 1 year to the day since I was at Fastlane the year before, and seen Braun Strowman, you know, power slam Roman Reigns through a table. So that was the highlight of that show. Being at Raw this time was fun. I thought, honestly, that I had more enjoyment at a Raw than I did at a pay-per-view. The pay-per-view just keeps going. There's no stop to it, right? At least I could... There was a commercial, or, you know, or I saw the whole match, right? There were breaks for me, which was fine. I ended up getting in the door and sitting in my seat at about 10 to 7. We had a little bit of trouble getting to the arena. There was a lot of snow coming down, but we had a really good time. We were camera side. We were about 25 rows up, so you couldn't see us at all. It was blacked out there with the lighting, but the arena, which was probably 20% tarped off because of how everything was set up, was probably 90% full of the seats that were available. The crowd was hot. I don't know how well it came across TV. I didn't have a chance to really go back and watch everything on television, but I enjoyed it. There were some big marks behind me that pissed me off, and I held my tongue just because I said stupid shit all the time, and I was drinking. But I had a good time. The beer was cold. The wrestling was fun. We did see Kane and Roman Reigns post-show, so that was enjoyable to see the Kane entrance. No pyro, unfortunately, anymore. And Roman did indeed thank all the fans. It was a very nice message that he sent and wished everybody to get home safe. So all in all, John Cena showed up. You got to have a Paul Heyman promo. You had the interaction at the beginning with Ronda Rousey and the announcement of that match. There was also the announcement of the triple threat match, and we had the Mizzy. So showing up for a Raw, there was a lot going on that night. I thoroughly enjoyed the money that I spent and had a really good time.
That's interesting, man, because I actually prefer the pay-per-views for the same reason that you prefer the Raw, because there were breaks, there were commercials. Because I feel like, you know, when you go to a Raw live, there's no flow to the show, man. Like, things are happening, but it seems like every 6 minutes they cut to commercial, and you're sitting there watching a WWE Cares video on the Jumbotron, man. So there's no flow or rhythm to it, man, and it just kind of the energy kind of dissipates throughout the night. That's the feeling that I felt.
I guess that's true. I think I'd prefer the Raws overall, just because there's more fan interaction when it comes to the Raws, because at the pay-per-views it's just wrestling matches, and it's awesome to watch the matches. But at Raws and SmackDowns, there's more crowd interaction where you chant along with someone who's cutting a promo, and you can do your Cena sucks chants more, you know, whoever you want to bark at. And there's more opportunities for fan interaction, I think, at a Raw than there is at a pay-per-view.
So let me ask you guys this then. What would you think about, you know, when they cut to the commercials, instead of showing the Raw Cares and the whole arena going black, what if the superstar that was in the ring just picked up the mic and just cut a promo the whole time during commercial? Like, I don't know how many men or women would be able to do that sort of thing, but why not try something like that, man, to kind of keep the crowd engaged and to get them hot and at a fever pitch, when you come back to the actual television show?
They used to do that. They really? Used to let certain people do that and let them know when they were coming in and out of commercial before matches. Say they show the entrance and then they cut the commercial, right, and they come back and that team's waiting in the ring. They used to do that. And to your point, maybe they don't have the number of people to do that anymore, right? Because those main people that can still do those type of things, don't sit and wait in the ring during a commercial. So that's a really good point you brought up there. You know, we have an amazing interview tonight, folks, that I want to transition into. We interviewed Funny Bone. You can find him on Facebook. I am Funny Bone. You can find him on Twitter at Demi_God of Death. This is a very interesting man, an exceptional wrestler, an excellent, unbelievable character, and an awesome interview. CP, why don't you expand on that a little bit and take us home?
Funny Bone, I mean, I can't say it better than PC just did, man. Funny Bone is an awesome character. He was a great interview. I thoroughly enjoyed this interview, and I feel like you all will as well as the audience, man. If you're not familiar with Funny Bone, you need to get familiar very quickly. And quite frankly, he's living the American dream as far as heterosexual males go. So tune into the interview with Funny Bone. You're thoroughly going to enjoy it. My name is Christopher Platt. For the commish PC Tunney, for the architect DPP, we're going to take you into the interview. Thanks for tuning in. Shalom. Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, folks, PC Tunney here, along with the real C. Platt. We're talking to Funny Bone. Mr. Funny Bone, we appreciate you coming on the show, first of all. And one of the first topics I want to bring up with you is everything you've had going on training-wise, getting to where you've gotten into your career, because you're very dynamic in the ring and with your character as well. So please talk to us about what you went through in training and who you learned from and how you've evolved this character.
I got trained by one of the most legendary wrestlers of all time by the name of Nick Bockwinkel. And I also got trained by Scott Casey, who was big in Texas for a very long time. Both very old school wrestlers. If you don't know who they are, Google them. Do yourself a favor. Very old school training, very old school learning, very old school everything. I don't wrestle very old school, but I have a very old school mindset when it comes to everything there is wrestling. So I'm a little bit different in that aspect, I think, from a lot of guys. I don't wrestle old school style. I can, but I choose not to. Character-wise and personality-wise, it doesn't really fit me. As far as the character goes, it's something that I developed over the last 4 or 5 years. Long story short, I wanted to be as evil as I could be. So I am.
So, Funny Bone, I'm not going to lie to you, brother. You kind of got a Nick Nolte thing going on with your voice right there, brother. I'm just saying.
I don't know who Nick Nolte is, but if he sounds like me, he's cool.
Well, Nick Nolte is basically Gary Busey with less of a drug habit. But just real quick, man, you brought up the name Nick Bockwinkel, man, which is a legendary name in the wrestling industry, man. So talk a little bit about that process and what you learned from under Nick Bockwinkel.
Nick was an amazing trainer. He was an amazing person. Probably one of the most legendary wrestlers ever, and is the most humble man I've ever met in my life. We used to make jokes about how humble he was and jokes about how legendary he was at the same time. Training with him was a jaw-dropping experience. When I first came to the school and they told me Nick was the head trainer, I thought they were lying to me. I didn't think that was actually something that was going on.
Were you a big fan of his growing up at all? I mean, is that kind of what led to, you know, really be in awe of him being your trainer?
I just didn't think guys like him train people. I figured the school that I found was in Las Vegas. I figured they were just going to have one of their guys be the head trainer, and I was just going to learn from whoever. When they told me Nick was the trainer, I literally didn't think that they're telling me the truth. And I thought, okay, well, if he is here, he's going to be here once in a blue moon. And that wasn't the case. I saw Nick every single week, every single Tuesday and Wednesday for 2.5 years straight. Nick was very rough in training. So was Scott. They both were. My first day of training, we did 500 squats. My second day, we did 500 squats, and we did that for the first 2 weeks. He was the kind of trainer, if you did something wrong, he'd probably punch you in the face. Especially if you knew better, he would probably punch you harder. But it was with love. It was a reminder. It was like getting smacked in the face when you're a kid and you're being a dumbass.
Yeah,
I can relate to that.
Nick, yeah, it reminds
Nick
me of
was
my
just,
dad.
He
totally.
Was just
that,
amazing.
Like that literally,
he really was.
So Funny Bone, you talked a little bit about gravitating towards evil and trying to be as evil as you possibly can. So I want you to talk a little bit about what made you gravitate towards the dark side.
Sin Bodhi. I don't know if you've ever heard of that guy. He's a
I might have talked to him once or twice.
Oh, yeah. He, friend of the show. Shout out to Sin Bodhi, man. Friend of the show.
Yeah, he's all right. Sin is my favorite frenemy. I love to hate him. I love to kick his ass. And if I have to, I'll tag with him and we'll kick someone else's ass. I've known Sin for like 5 years now. And for the longest time, he wanted me to be silly and goofy with him. He wanted me to have fun wrestling instead of going out there and just kicking ass. So I decided I was going to be silly and goofy with him. And that was probably the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. I tried my hardest to be silly and goofy and have fun with Sin, and all that made me want to do is hit Sin in the head as hard as humanly possible. I took some time off of wrestling in like 2012, 2013. I was having a lot of issues with the companies that I was working with. And when I came back, all I wanted to do was be the opposite of what Sin wanted me to be. And that was it.
Fair enough. And Funny Bone, you're doing better than me at this game called life, brother, because the dumbest thing I ever did was pay for a pound of marijuana with a personal check. So you're doing way better than me, brother. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't know. Hang out with Sin for a week. It's life-changing.
Speaking of Sin, I believe you and him will be at the Lucha Libre in Las Vegas. What is that, Saturday the 8th of April? Or Sunday, April 8th, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. I wanted to get my hands on Damian 666 and Bestia 666 again. I've whooped both their asses before, and I wanted to do it again. And somehow Sin got involved in being there with me, which is very unfortunate for me. But if that's what it takes to get my hands on them again, I'll go ahead and take it.
So before we transition and talk a little bit about you coming into town where we are, we're going to get a chance to witness you in the ring, Bruce City Wrestling, this Saturday. Talk to me. Is there anything going on in the world of wrestling right now that you're paying attention to outside of what you've got going on? Anything people should pay attention to? Anything you think is really hitting the mark as far as professional wrestling goes?
I mean, to be absolutely honest with you, I pay attention to everything. If you're a wrestler I've never heard of, you're not doing a very good job. I pay very, very close attention to every single one of the wrestlers out there in the U.S., Mexico, Japan, Canada. I keep a very close eye on everything and everyone because I want to know as much about everything as I can. As far as stuff that's hitting the mark, there's a lot of wrestlers that are doing an amazing job. There's a lot of companies that are doing an amazing job. Wrestling's on fire right now. I'm fortunate enough to be doing this for a living. This is all I do with my life is beat people up. So wrestling's amazing right now. My favorite companies to work for is Best of the West out in California and Hood Slam out in California.
Now, you Best brought of up the West, Hood Slam.
I actually wrestle a match with them next Saturday against Mike Rain in a cage for my Best of the West heavyweight title.
I'm so glad you brought up Hood Slam, man, because for those that don't know, they're a wrestling promotion or federation based out in the West Coast, and they do a lot of cool stuff, man. I first got introduced to them when I was out in the Bay for WrestleMania 31. That's when I first got introduced to Hood Slam, and they do a lot of cool shit, man. So talk a little bit about your experience working with Hood Slam.
Well, my two biggest things for Hood Slam is A, when I first did a Hood Slam, I actually made wrestling history. I married my girlfriend to each other live in a wrestling ring, that being the first ever same-sex marriage in a wrestling ring in history at Hood Slam. So that's one of the reasons they're one of my favorite companies, because they allowed me to do that. Second thing is speaking of WrestleMania weekend, on the beginning of April, I think it's April 6th, is the first Friday of April, I will be at Hood Slam wrestling with my tag partner, Chupacabra, for the Intergalactic Tag Team Championships against the Caution.
Well, we certainly don't want to bury that, and I'd love to come to that event because I'm actually going to be in town for WrestleMania, man. But let's double back a little bit here. You're kind of burying the lead here on us, Funny. I'm not going to lie to you. You said that you married your two girlfriends in the middle of a Hood Slam ring. Did I get that correctly, sir?
Yes. Yes, you can actually find that on YouTube if you look up Hood Slam Wedding.
Number one, that's all. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Platt. Go ahead, Platt. Oh, all right, I have a question for you. Funny Bone, do you ever sleep? You're the father of seven and boyfriend of two women. Do you ever? That's a lot going on, man. I mean, do you ever sleep?
No.
that's the answer. Nice. I expected. That's the answer. There's always some kind of problem going on or someone to spend time with, right?
Exactly. Like right now I'm actually in Tehachapi, California, fixing my car that broke down when I was on the road this last weekend, putting in a new starter. I'm not joking. I'm literally in Tehachapi at some freaking gas station.
So this funny, I have
life.
To ask,
my life
man,
never has a time where I sit down and do nothing.
That's fair. Number one, man, I'm of the belief that polygamy could work, man. So I pop my collar to you, sir. But I want you to kind of give advice to the fellas out there. How do you maneuver with two women? You got two different sets of emotions. You got, you know, there's a lot going on there, man. So how do you keep all that together, man, in the Funny Bone household? With Mrs.
Well,
and
technically,
Mrs.
it's the bone manner. Secondly, it's not polygamy. Polygamy is when people have multiple different relationships. I have one singular relationship just with more people than you. We all are with each other. We all sleep in the same bed. We all eat at the same dinner table. It's one relationship. They actually came to me as a couple a little bit over 5 years ago. And I have four kids with them total, two with one, two with the other. And how I maintain that is the answer, yes. Whenever they ask me a question, the answer is yes. Yes, you can do that. Yes, you can buy this. Yes, you can have that. I just nod my head and look pretty.
Hey, we aren't hating on you, and we aren't trying to pry. We're just amazed. You're one hell of a guy.
What is the mission statement in the Bone household, brother? I gotta ask.
Fuck, I don't know. the mission statement would probably be whatever you're doing, have fun doing it.
Fair
there
enough.
You go. That's a good motto to live life by. Tell us, before we get to Saturday, it'll be my last question for you. What else is coming up besides what we've talked about for you, for Funny Bone, and what else is going on with you right now that people should know about?
Like I said, I got Hood Slam's big shows coming up for them for their basically their version of WrestleMania called Entertainia. I got Best of the West next weekend. It's their 2-year anniversary. That's going to be on the Fight app on pay-per-view. Just look up Best of the West, I guess. I don't know. I'm beating up Mike Crane in a steel cage.
Nice.
Let's see. I'm doing 16-year anniversary for AWS on the 24th. I think I'm beating up Sin on the 25th in Central California. Well, at least I hope I am. That's always fun. I'm wrestling WrestleMania Day, just not, you know, at WrestleMania. Tagging with Sin in Vegas, my hometown. All the locals should show up and buy my merch. Which, by the way, if you don't buy my merch, I'm going to kill you all.
Tell everybody where they can find all your merchandise and all your social media.
All my social media, you can find me at Your Demon King. Oh, wait, that's the old one. Sorry. Your Demigod of Death. Your Demigod of Death, Funny Bones, easiest. Just Google me. You'll find all of them. I don't know why people go to individual things. I just Google everybody. But Your Demigod of Death or Demigod of Death on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. If you want to buy merch, I have a whole merch little page in my photos on Facebook. I ship to anywhere in the world. I make most of my merch myself. I do paintings. I do masks. I have flasks. I have shirts. I have posters. I have figurines. I have most things.
So everybody, get out there and get you some Funny Bone merchandise, man. It is what it is. Before we get to PC's last question.
I got a pro wrestling tease, too, but nobody ever goes to it.
Well, go there now, folks. If you're listening to this show, go there now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny Bone, I have to ask, man, because you said you have 4 kids by the 2 different women. So I have to ask, man, was it you knocked one up and then the other one said, oh, that looks cool. I'll have one as well. Like, how did that work out?
No, like I said, they came to me as a couple. They've actually been together for almost like 13 years or some shit. When I first met them and first started talking to them and first started dating them, they always told me that they always wanted kids. So I basically like said, who's first? And then told them consider themselves pregnant. She actually had a set of twins that I have. I have a little boy and a little girl. They're actually different races and different sexes, but yet twins. Figure that out. And then the other one decided she wanted to have kids too. So I had one, and then a couple years later, I had another one with.
Shout out to Funny Bone and his super sperm, man. Your sperm is so potent, man. You can make black and white at the same time.
Well, my little boy's white like me. My little girl's actually a Pacific Islander like her mom. Her mom's from Guam.
Okay.
So she's dark skin, dark hair. All 6 of my boys are light skin, light hair, just like me. And little girls, dark skin, dark hair.
Last question on your amazing family. What's the favorite thing you like to do with the kids?
Favorite thing I like to do with the kids? Every night when I'm home, we sing them a song to go to bed to. I don't know if you guys ever watched the show Out of the Box, but the goodbye song at the end of that show, we sing them to bed every single night that I'm home.
There you go. That's what it's all about, being there for your kids and being a great dad. Let's talk about this Saturday. We are having the privilege of the demigod himself, Funny Bone, come to Brew City Wrestling here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm pretty sure you sent out one badass promo video at the previous show warning everybody that you were coming.
Yeah, I'll be there on the 10th for sure. Listen, I don't go to shows, especially ones as far away from my normal area and everything like that. I don't go to shows to phone something in. If you want to see a live wrestling show, if you want to see an experience, you come see me on the 10th, because I guarantee from the second I start to the second I go back between those curtains, you're going to have a life-changing experience. I'm not some run-of-the-mill wrestler that comes out there with basic tights and basic boots and does basic moves. I don't come to leave an impression. I come to leave a permanent mark on your brain. You will never forget me. You will never even try to forget me. Okay, when I call myself the original nightmare, I am just that. I get messages from fans on a daily basis that their kid has nightmares about me. Kids dress up like me for Halloween. I am the new boogeyman, and that I'll say that in front of boogeyman. I come to destroy. That's it. That's it.
Bob, I like this, man. Let's set up something up, man. Go ahead and cut a promo on Boogeyman, man. Let's get this popping, man. Let's go for it. Let's do it. Chair Shot Radio.
No, honestly, listen here. Boogeyman, I've wrestled old wrestlers before. Boogeyman is not the oldest. I think Techno Destructo is. And I damn near killed him. The last thing Boogeyman ever wants to do is step in a ring with me, because he may be big, he may be jacked. You may be able to smash clocks against your head, but I'm not a goddamn clock.